At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, Paul Fontaine, Jeff Hawkins, a little bit later than usual because just had to get that freaking private party and Iron Savages match in so we could have a
no, we don't have plans. We could just sit here and watch this wrestling. Yeah. Well, you do it for football. Yeah, because football has stakes.
Yeah. And yeah, whatever. Yeah, I know that's the greatest one. But anyways, we're here. We're here live on the Fight Game Media YouTube channel, watching for people watching on X. And then if you're listening in the morning on Thursday on the Fight Game Media free feed, I want to thank you all. Jeff, big day here in the history of AEW. 5-year anniversary. The TV deal is signed. It's official. The numbers are out there. Sounds like $185 million a year for 3 years.
That's 150.
No, it's been increased.
Just now?
In the last couple hours, yeah. Oh, okay. Sean Ross have confirmed it. Yeah, and Dave Meltzer had been hinting all day on the Wrestling Observer message board that he'll have more tonight on Observer Radio, but it's a lot more than $150 million is what he said. So yeah, so it's 3 years with a option for a fourth year at a substantial increase is how it was worded. And immediately Brandon Thurston tweets out, I estimated the value of the WBD of the media rights deal for AEW at $70 to $75 million. So he just came in with a blowtorch.
Oh, he's going to get crushed.
Yeah. It depends on how you look at it. If you look at SmackDown, what SmackDown got, you know, the number is reasonable, but it's also you're comparing the name brand to the B brand, right? You're comparing the NFL to Arena Football. You're comparing, NBA to the G League. Like, hey, Curryhead.
I guess, but continue and finish your point.
Well, I just say ultimately what it comes down to is it's worth whatever WBD wants to pay for it.
Yes.
And if they're paying that and for what's come out is it includes Dynamite and Collision. They did not mention Rampage.
Rampage is done.
They did not mention Battle of the Belts. They did not mention whether or not Dynamite and or Collision would be remaining at 2 hours.
Yes.
I could see one or both of those going to 3 hours if they're getting this much money. You don't think so? Or you know so?
They do so many overruns on Dynamite anyways. They could probably.
Well, I just think I think they like the 5 hours a week, but they don't like the Rampage name. So that's why I think they could tack on a third hour to either Collision or Dynamite. And when they've done that in the past,
I think Collision needs to be reimagined somehow. I don't think you want a third hour on that show, especially as it's getting slaughtered during football season.
A third hour of Dynamite is going to do better than probably anything else on TBS besides basketball or baseball.
Yeah, I think the archive on Max will be interesting. I know that that's not big for a lot of people, but I kind of like having an archive somewhere.
According to Sean Ross Sapp, no archive.
What? No, I thought like past episodes would be available. Okay, never mind.
Maybe past episodes of Dynamite from the time they start on Max. I could see that, but I don't think the full archive is on there. But I could be wrong.
Although I find streaming also not the best proposition. I don't like that they're streaming it simultaneously. against TBS and TNT. I think that's a bad idea.
Well, it's preparing for the future. As,
well, okay,
Andrew Zarian put it, you're future-proofing. Transferring Heat has a good question. The biggest question about the deal is, does WBD own a stake in the company, and what's the pay-per-view price going to be on Max? So nothing about pay-per-view has been announced yet.
I thought there was. I thought they said that there was going to be for a reduced price on Max.
If they had said that, I didn't hear it, but it's possible. My guess would be that I think that 150 million number that came out first was the number without pay-per-view. And then if it's including pay-per-view, that's where the 185 kicks in. And but I think Max isn't ready yet for pay-per-view, and they don't necessarily know when they're going to be ready. So you're starting on right now with Triller, YouTube, you know, however else you can order the shows, traditional cable, I think. You can still order pay-per-views, right?
I don't think most AEW fans even pay for the pay-per-view, so it doesn't
matter. Yeah, I want to address this question. I'm going to star this and come back to it because I got a problem with that statement, Matt. But but the thing is, does WBD own a stake in the company?
That would be there very important, yes.
There was a tweet that came out from, I want to say it was Sports Business Journal, and they said, as part of the thing, they said, important to note that WBD retains its stake in All Elite Wrestling. That was the wording of the tweet. If somebody can find that, they can put it up. But Jason, I believe, saw that. And he also pointed out that they did say later on, okay, so what I saw was earlier, Max would have pay-per-view at a reduced price. So there you go. You can also get it for a reduced price by getting a VPN and signing up for Triller. I get it for $20. So this kicks in 2025. They got 3 years. If you thought ratings weren't important because they signed a TV deal now, think again, because they got to keep these ratings up if they want to get that fourth year and a new deal after that.
Yeah. So. The discourse, of course, has been interesting, and a lot of people pulling receipts for people. And I think it's a little over people's skis, but because I was taking some hits and I was like, I never wanted AEW to fail. I wanted them to get better. There's a difference between myself and them. But, you know, a lot of the podcast, and I think a lot of the podcast people that are getting hit also just want it to be better. They don't want it to fail necessarily. Now, I'm sure there are a few that want it to fail. Don't get me wrong. But now it's going to be even more interesting to me, because AEW was a disruptor in the wrestling space, and they have proven they can survive. They should be lauded for that. And it was interesting the way people were watching AEW and talking about the business metrics, because it was one of those things where it started as the expectations were they're going to be equals to WWE. And I think that reality has hit in, that they're not going to be number one anytime soon, but they hope they are. But the thing, and I've invested a lot of money in a disruptor in the Medicare Advantage space, and okay, trust me, there'll be something around here. And don't get me wrong, and they've gotten themselves close to profitability, if not a little bit profitable per share. And now that they've proven they can survive, now they have to prove they can grow. Mm-hmm. Because they're only in New Jersey right now, this company I have invested in. But I think AEW is pretty much the same way. And it was interesting because I think everybody was expecting them to grow in this first 5 years. And it hasn't in some ways. It's retracted in a bit. Now you're expected to produce a little bit. It's not just you have the shelf space, but now you have to prove that you belong in the big leagues, as opposed to everybody was kind of, you know, once they took out NXT and chase them off, and that might be coming back, by the way. If you've been, did you read this thing about the Fox thing where Fox may put them on Tuesdays?
Yeah.
Thursdays would be a bad move for them, but Tuesdays, not so much. It's going to be interesting to see how AEW loyalists now talk about the company. To me, now that they've proven they can survive, and I love this, they're now profitable. Is that the bar we're going with now? Okay.
Well, I mean, and that's...
Are they profitable? We don't know that for a fact. There's no books that are ever released.
No, I loved when, I think it was Dave, asked Tony at the last press conference, will you be the second most profitable wrestling company in history? And Tony, I actually liked his answer because, look, how should I know? I don't know what, I didn't see Jim Crockett's books. Like, you know, I don't know how much money he made. You
also
know,
and true.
I think what he's saying is you haven't seen my books. You don't know what I'm making, you know, and there's creative bookkeeping and all kinds of stuff. Like, we don't know their expenses. Like, I assume they'll be profitable at this.
I mean, we knew that that Crockett, et cetera, wasn't profitable once, you know, Dusty came in and they were pushing for nationwide expansion. But when they were a territory in the late 70s, early 80s, they were hella profitable from what I know. But I don't know. And we don't have access to those books. We don't have access to Tony's books either.
What the other question I had in regards to this, and maybe people that listened to Sean Ross Sapp's thing earlier today or read up on this a little bit more than I did today, because again, I was, you know, I have kids to look after and stuff, but is this only US? Because I had heard at one point that they were negotiating worldwide rights for Max, for the countries that do have Max. Or is it only US?
I would assume it would be worldwide for Max.
Yeah. But not probably for cable. For cable, it's only US, I would assume.
Yeah, because they don't have, I mean,
yeah.
I don't know what I don't know if British is BT Sports or TNT Sports there.
It's one of the premium channels, I believe. Okay. And Canada, we get TSN, and, you know, like, there's other countries. They're on Triller in a lot of the world.
Yes.
And in fact, a lot of Americans and Canadians watch it on Triller and just use a VPN. Yeah, that's an interesting question as well, because that could also be part of why the money seems a little high. But again, if they're getting it, great. You know, that's a lot more money than they were getting this year.
You know, the other interesting question here is, now that they're getting all this money, do they decide to go for profit and cut some of the dead weight that's on this roster? They have far too. I mean, they've already cut a TV show. They need to cut some of the announcers, some of the wrestlers, some of,
well, you say that. We have
30 backstage people. No, I'm not saying I'm hoping people get their job.
No. Lost. But you say cut announcers. I watched Collision this past week. And I got to say, that was one of the worst wrestling shows I watched all year. And they had Matt Menard doing commentary on there because Nigel had wrestled earlier. And oh my God, they need to hire another announcer. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like,
no, they need to call the weak ones and put the strong ones in there and create some.
Who's teams strong? And who's the strong color commentator?
Nigel.
Yeah.
Well, no, Menard, exactly. Menard's been doing what? Rampage for.
He's fine
for
at Rampage. Right? It's only an hour. Okay. But when you got Matt Menard and Ian Riccoboni yelling at you for 2 hours, I'm sorry. Like, I don't care what's going on in the ring.
I don't, you know. Yeah. That's my thing. I mean,
yeah.
But you have Tony, you have Excalibur. I mean, just hire a young guy to go in there. I mean, there's plenty of guys out there to do the jobs. I mean, JR isn't adding a whole lot to me.
Scoop Walker Stewart. AW Dark might come back. Great. More content. Awesome. Caprice Coleman, I like that. He's good.
Caprice is decent.
Yeah. He's very low key. I like that.
I'd actually poach Joe Galley. Over anybody.
You know who they could and should use?
Morrow.
Who would be great? Morrow's good. Brian Danielson.
Mm.
I love him on commentary. Mm.
Okay.
Like, okay.
No, not really.
Anyways.
I think he's okay. I just, it's one of those things where it depends on character work or not.
So did you watch Collision?
No.
Okay. So in the main event of Collision, I don't know if you were aware of this, but Kazuchika Okada defended his continental title against Sammy Guevara.
Okay.
So that was the main event. That was the main event of Collision. If you did watch it, you may have missed them building up Kazuchika Okada's upcoming world title match that he was going to have on Wednesday against Bryan Danielson.
Yes, they announced Okada versus Danielson.
You didn't. Yeah.
With 2 days notice on Twitter.
Yes. Monday night, just after Raw ended, Bryan Danielson was meditating in the woods and came up with the idea to wrestle Kazuchika Okada and posted it on X, and Tony booked the match. And so that match with no promotion happened on free TV tonight in the main event.
Look, we got the TV money. What do we need to make real money for?
Well, yeah. And yeah, so that was that. It was funny because like there was only that. They had that and three other matches announced for tonight. And then they also later announced, oh, it was during the show. I don't think it was announced ahead of time that we were going to get a private party in action.
By the way, I saw a thought on that. And I want to get your opinions on this. Mm-hmm. Is that they've just kind of been cramming in a bunch of Danielson dream matches that he wants.
Yeah.
To get in ahead of the Wrestle Dream.
Yeah.
Pay-per-view.
Yeah, yeah. That was my first thing that came up.
I get that. It's one of those things where, and my co-host on Shake the Rouse, Chris Novembrino, had a great point about this. All of this retirement talk has been so superficial. There is no threat in these weekly matches that they've been doing that Danielson, this might be the last time we ever see Bryan Danielson again. There's none of that gravity put to it.
No, I think to that point. Nobody believes it.
Yeah, but they should play with the world that they build. I think that's his main point. It's one of those things where he's actually angry at the laziness of it all.
Yeah, yeah. No, I know Garrett, for one, has been very vocal about that. Danielson did a great promo tonight. You know,
that was good.
Over the gravity of it. He's the only one that seems to care. You know, like literally it should be like every second of every match, like this could be it. We could be done. But I think the problem is that most of the people that AEW promotes to, this is what I'll say, is they know he's not retiring. Like for real.
Yeah, but I mean, it's still up to the announcers to build that feeling. Okay. And it's a work, for God's sakes. Make it work.
Okay, so this is pertinent right now, Matt. This All is right. what Matt was asking about. He says, I feel inclined to vote for Tony Khan for promoter of the year, despite interest in AEW continually decreasing. He's definitely not getting my Booker of the Year award. Okay, here's why I'm not voting for Tony Khan for promoter of the year. He announced Bryan Danielson versus Kazuchika Okada on X with less than 2 days notice. I mean, he should lose his promoter's license. Like for that, like we say this all the time, like, oh, you don't do this, you should lose. That's, I mean, to me, that's exactly like a promoter would have put that on a pay-per-view or built it up like he built up Ricochet Osprey. And guess what? By booking this match, he completely overshone Ricochet Osprey to the point where most people watching this probably forgot that match even happened tonight. Like, and this is a match that was a dream match that people were talking about for years that they wanted to see again. And when Ricochet was still in WWE, oh, he's got to leave. He's got to come to AEW. We got to do Ricochet Osprey. We finally got it. They built it for weeks. And then all of a sudden, no, main event now is Danielson Okada.
UFC promoted and booked the most awesome show of the year in the sphere. Tony Khan ain't winning promoter of the year.
Neither is Dana White, even though he should.
Yeah.
I mean, Nick Khan's going to win it, or Hunter, and I don't think they should either. I mean, clearly it should be UFC, you know, Dana White or Sean Shelby or whatever. Tony Khan, like, I don't know what he is. He's a good promoter in the sense that when you get him on a conference call, he gets people really excited about his company and really excited about matches and everything. And a lot of people are going to vote for him. Don't get me wrong.
Who's on those conference calls?
A lot of fans, even though masquerading as reporters.
Yeah, but it's not the general fan base, so it doesn't
matter. No, correct. But people listening to it and stuff, like, he does. He gets people excited for stuff, I think. But again, like, look at, you know, him going on the NFL network with a neck brace on, like, you know, and stuff like that. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, it, but yeah, like, you know what? He got a $185 million TV deal, so, you know, money. Maybe that's Booker. I don't know. I don't know what that MVP, maybe. Like, who knows? He got the money.
He got the money from a company that needed content.
Whatever. He got the money.
No, that's fine. I applaud the move. I'm not burying it. Yeah. I just think he needs to do a better job with his product.
They may win promotion of the year, AEW, believe
it or not. They're going to, because it's Observer subscribers.
It's Observer, and they put on good shows. Right?
Sure, if you put them in a vacuum.
Yeah, well, that's it. So that's what people are going to remember.
Yeah.
You know, maybe Stardom.
No, yeah, it's Stardom, the Observer subscribers. They stink.
Yeah, yeah. But Hunter, I think...
You don't understand Build.
You know, Booker of the Year.
They make excuses.
Maybe Sean will win Cooker of the Year.
Oh, God.
No. All right, let's get into this show. We've gone 20 minutes here. I don't want to do an overrun. attendance. I checked it this week. They did 4,000.
Oh, here was my question, by the way, okay. To tie it, because I prepped you for this, for the Hall of Fame
stuff. Oh, yeah.
So now AEW is quote-unquote profitable, correct?
Sure.
Let's go on that assumption. Next year,
profitable.
Okay, so for the first 5 years, they weren't.
Yep.
Should that be held against anybody who's nominated for that period of AEW?
No, because they're not except for Tony Khan, maybe.
I was just seeing this in comparison to like someone who was like held out for a while, who was like top of or close to the top of WCW. Let's say Sting. Sting was held against him that WCW wasn't profitable and wasn't drawing,
not profitable. Because profitable is bookkeepers and, you know, promoters spending too much money and everything. Not drawing, definitely. So if you want to hold it against them for not drawing, that's fine. But I don't think you can hold against them for not being profitable. If Tony Khan decides to pay a wrestler that's worth $1 million, $10 million, it shouldn't be held against that wrestler that his company lost money.
No, but I mean, in terms of like weekly audience decreasing and stuff like that.
Well, yeah. No, that absolutely should be held against
pay-per-view buys, et cetera.
Yeah, okay. That should be held against. But I think for the first couple of years, certain wrestlers
increased. Because I think the narrative is going to be different. I think the narrative is going to be, well, they were building a company that rivaled a national juggernaut, and they'll start because the other thing that was always dinged against WCW people, well, they weren't the top draw in the country. WWF was.
I would look at it differently. I wouldn't take either sides of that. I would say that the people that were responsible for the creation of AEW, and for the purposes of this discussion, I'll say Tony Khan, Cody Rhodes, Kenny Omega, the Young Bucks.
Okay.
Maybe Chris Jericho and John Moxley as well. Those people should deserve a lot of credit, not for creating AEW, but not for the success or failure of the company as whether or not they were profitable, but for the fact that they improved the wrestling business as a whole. AEW being created improved WWE.
Yes.
And
I'm never going to argue that. Trust me.
Yeah. So the people involved in the creation of AEW should get some of the credit for how WWE is doing in some ways, in some weird ways. And in Cody Rhodes' way, it's direct. I mean, he jumped companies, CM Punk as well. You know, that they went from one company to the other. I mean, put it this way.
Well, you also saw a noticeable interest when they jumped from AEW to WWE in both Cody and Punk.
The last year, in my mind, has solidified CM Punk's case.
Yes.
He is 100. I was voting for him already, but he is absolutely a Hall of Famer now. I think Cody Rhodes is a slam dunk. I think Tony
Khan is a slam dunk. I think he's close. I'm not sure if it's slam dunk yet, but he's very, very
Cody?
Close. Yes.
See, yeah, and I would have voted for Cody even before he came back to WWE, honestly.
Okay.
Just for his involvement.
It was just something I wanted to throw out there. Let's go to the show.
All right.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
Most tax pros leave a message.
It's Jane. I'm moving on to a TurboTax expert who beat your price. Adam Devine, tell him how I feel.
Hey, tax pro, she's been thinking twice. Best believe TurboTax will beat your price.
This is a tax break.
Switch to a TurboTax live expert and we'll beat what you paid your pro last tax season. Make the switch at TurboTax.com/beat your price. TurboTax full service only. Sign up by 12/20/2024 and file by 4/1/2025. Full details at TurboTax.com/beat your price.
At Kroger Pharmacy, care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
So they 4,425 attendance. It was a good crowd. I wouldn't say they had a lot of late ticket movement. I think they started selling tickets a couple weeks ago when they announced Ricochet, Ospreay, and also that Britt Baker was coming back. How low key was that? We'll get to it. Last time they were in Pittsburgh, they did 3,533 in November for Collision. So a bit of an increase, which is good. Again, heavily
the built A show versus B show too. So yeah,
A show, B show. This was a heavily built show. I mean, this was very much like NXT last night, and they did like 7,000 in Chicago.
Well, you're grading on a curve with heavily built, but okay.
Well, I mean, Ricochet, Ospreay for sure.
Yeah.
You know,
they got 2 weeks notice instead of one.
Yeah. Yeah. I was having an argument with somebody because when they booked Juice Robinson versus Hangman for this show, I said, Jay White's going to return and they're going to do Hangman Jay White at WrestleDream. And someone argued with me, we can't have Hangman and Jay White on 10 days notice. It needs more build than that. And then Tony books Danielson Okada on 40
hours. Yes.
All right. So the show started with Moxley, Marina Shafir, Claudio, and Pac doing a promo with spooky music behind them. Pac was talking to someone, but he didn't say who it was. He said he knows him. He's not like everyone else. Claudio said he's still the same guy. He doesn't understand the problem. You know where to find me. This is your home. We have big plans for you. Wheeler. So now we know he's talking to Wheeler Yuta. Marina says something in Russian. Can I stop for a second?
Her best promo ever.
Sure. When did she forget to speak English?
It's a character choice. Let's just roll with it.
Okay. Also, I've been watching Marina now, hanging around with John Moxley for like, what, a month maybe? Why is she with them? Have they explained this?
No.
Okay. Just making sure I didn't miss something.
And especially with his wife doing backstage interviews, they have yet to explain this again.
Yeah, I'm baffled.
Unless the payoff is Marina chokes out Renee.
Oh, I love that. All right. Then Moxley takes over and he says, I prayed every night you wouldn't win the AEW world title, but you did. So here we are. I'm going to have that belt one way or the other. There will be casualties. You're going to get a gift from the universe, a gift from me, the opportunity to go out on your shield, to die a warrior's death on your home soil, buried in your backyard peacefully, beautifully. Fate won't put a better bow better off than that man. On October, I wrote down 1WTH, whatever date the pay-per-view is, I relieve you of duty, sending daddy home for good. Hell of a promo by John Moxley. He did a much better version than I did.
Curry is correct. It is Romanian.
Not Russian. Romanian. Okay.
Whatever.
Look, Moldovian.
That's true. I liked the promo. Don't get me wrong. Still wondering what the motivation here is, really, but not really. We'll get into that into the main event. Okay.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the now. That said, someone had some film school feels on this one. I don't need the weird angles on profile for these guys. Just talk to me in the camera.
And the music.
I don't need the cinema. I don't need cinema.
Yeah.
This feels like a Peterman move, actually.
This feels like their attempt at Cody and Roman
a couple
weeks ago.
Yeah. Somebody watched that and got mad.
I like the promo.
Promo was fine. Don't get me wrong. The promo was fine. It was just one of those weird things where it's like they'd start talking and then they cut to the profiling. I was like, I don't need a second shot for this. The first shot head on is fine. But yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, that was that. It was a cold open. And then we come back and Excalibur points out that we got some very interesting news regarding Taz to come later tonight. They don't tell us what. And Nigel's just there. I knew because I'd heard about it, but Taz was apparently jumped in the parking lot and sent by a helicopter to a hospital in New York. So what do you think happened here? Was this Taz wasn't available, so they came up with this angle, or they came up the angle? Okay. So it was the former.
I think Taz is having knee surgery, probably.
Oh, okay. Okay. So then they had to,
because he's been talking about it for weeks.
Okay. And they just decided this at the last minute.
Hey, we have news about Taz, but that can wait.
Yeah. They waited till like an hour into the show.
He was a victim of criminal assault and he's fine.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's not important.
Yeah. And I think I know who did it, but we'll get to that.
Oh, I'm damn sure I know who did it.
Yeah.
Because they eventually told you who did it.
Yeah. Backstage, Callis and Fletcher are talking to Ospreay after Ricochet made his entrance. What's so funny about this?
This.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So Fletcher is just hey, we gotta over the go moon.
Catch a plane. I know the show just started.
Yeah. Takeshita's behind Callis. And Cal says, we got to talk about last week. And then Will said, we got to talk about last week. And then Cal's like, no, I got a plane to catch. So best of luck. Kyle and I got to get out of here. Kyle wishes him luck. They leave. Takeshita stays. Important plot note that Takeshita stayed. Okay. Callis and Fletcher left. Takeshita stayed. The camera stayed on him. We knew he stayed. They told us he stayed. Callis told us, me and Kyle are leaving. He didn't say Takeshita staying, but Takeshita stayed. Okay. You got it? Takeshita's still in the building, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. Just want to make sure we got that.
In this world of pretend professional wrestling.
Yeah.
We, the fans, don't know that they've been at the building all day.
Right.
Or that they flew in for TV and they're checking the lineup to see if they're there or not or whatever. And then whatever. No, the show starts. We got to go catch a plane.
Yeah. So why were you here?
Why were you here? Exactly. Yeah.
And it's going to be even funnier when one of them is on Rampage, probably. Yeah.
I was like, what?
That was weird. Okay, when you put it that way, I didn't even think about that because my brain is melted.
Everybody from AEW flies in and they check the roster.
Except for the boys.
Because we can't communicate with them that they're not on the show this week. I appreciate that joke, by the way, Paul. I do, the boys. but yeah, just like, gotta go. It's 5:05
yeah.
in the Pacific.
Yeah. Yeah, it's time to go. I don't know what you booked that you had to be there on Wednesday night. Tony might have some words for you.
We flew all the way here, and we weren't on the list, so I guess it's time to go. See you next week at production.
It probably took Tony's private jet. Will Ospreay versus Ricochet. So this match kicks off the show. And they showed highlights of the match finish from last week during Will's entrance. Before they even lock up, fans are chanting, holy shit, and this is awesome. Shivani wasted no time in informing us about the TV deal and that they'll be streaming on Max starting in February. They did a spot where Ricochet dove through the ropes on Ospreay, hit him with a Rana off the barricade. Fans are going nuts. Let's go Ospreay. Let's go Ricochet. This was the hottest the crowd was all night, was for this match.
Yes.
We got a both these guys chance. They did a million flips. Spanish fly in the center by two for Will. Will went for an Os cutter, but Rick pushed him off the ropes. Ospreay hit an Os cutter on the apron. We go to break. Come back. They're on the top rope. Rick hits a top rope Rana. Ospreay lands on his feet. Fans gave him a standing O, and then Rick just hit him with an Os cutter. Will gives him a double bird. He gives Will a double bird. Gets kicked in the head. Rick missed a 340 splash. 450 splash. Ospreay tried a hidden blade. Rick hit a pile driver for two. Fans chanted fight forever. Will hit a stun dog millionaire. Styles clash for two. Os cutter for two. Crowd's going crazy. Rick hit a shooting star press for two, and Excalibur does we have a new champ. Oh, no. That move.
One, two, he kicked out.
Yeah. Good this is Vince awesome chance.
Yeah.
Rick hit a stomp, poison Rana by Will. Then Rick hit one, hidden blade by Will, and they fall. Both shoulders are down, and the ref counts three, and both guys are out. And I wrote down stupid, and I docked a half star from my rating. And that would have been better than what we ended up with. So these guys want five more minutes. Well, they don't. No, they don't want five. They just want the match to keep going. And both guys want it. And the ref will agree to start it. And then Justin Roberts gets on the mic. And I've just been informed by Tony Khan that this match will continue. Fans go nuts. They start punching. It's the first time they showed that they hated each other at all in this match. They're actually fighting. They're blocking kicks. Ospreay went for a hidden blade, and then from out of nowhere, he gets attacked by Takeshita. And then Tony Schiavone, the brilliant guy that doesn't watch the show, says, I thought they were leaving for the airport. And then somebody said, well, we saw Tony Khan's probably like tearing his hair out. I told you that they were here. Like,
he left the notes in front of you, Tony.
Yeah, so he attacked both. The match was a no contest, and I guess we're probably going to get a three-way. And John subs it up well here. Stupid finish and shitty run.
there's a phrase in writing that clever is the enemy of good.
Yes.
This was that. Because I also, I don't mind the idea for the ending. It's just when you're watching Osprey try and configure himself around on the body to make sure that both his shoulders are around. And we have to wait a few seconds to get in that position. And then we're going to count the three. Just do the belly to back spot. And just Osprey, do that. And then we get Tony. Oh, Tony Khan is going to give you all a gift of extra wrestling. Cause he never does that every week with a run in over. And then we get the run in. Why not just do the run in during the match?
Yeah. And those fans, by the way, that were super hot for this match, they booed the shit out of this and they were never the same again. The rest of the night. Yes.
He pissed off his sickos.
Yeah.
who want clean finishes and whatnot. And it was a night for some contrived BS in terms of the finishes tonight. Yeah. There was a lot of TV finishes on here. And this is why you need squash matches instead of just wasting all this good wrestling on free TV. But that's
had one good squash match.
Yes. But yeah, it was like one of those things where it's like, oh, we've built the expectation for higher stakes in this overrun, and then Takeshita immediately comes out. Yeah. Takeshita should come out after the three count and start stomping on both guys. They should have never dangled that carrot in front of people.
Yeah, that would have been better. Yeah. He comes out just as Justin Roberts can announce it, it beats them both up, and that's it. Yeah, I would have actually, that would have been better. Yeah, I agree.
Yes, don't give the fans. You know, don't bait and switch them. That's what this was.
So he grabbed the belt from ringside. Fans are chanting asshole. He held the belt up, and I guess we're getting a three-way at the pay-per-view. No doubt. So, I mean, the match will be awesome. Sickles will love it. They're not going to remember this match.
We assume three-way, but remember that what WWE just did with theirs. So we may get a rematch between Ricochet and Will, and winner gets Takeshita.
Well, they were building Okada and Takeshita
before
last week.
Have we dumped that, by the way?
I assume. I don't know. They're both heels. So so we go backstage. They had promoted, well, kind of. They said it at the beginning of the show, but it was never promoted at all in the lead up. Like, I didn't even see it on X, but Mercedes is going to speak. So she says, Pittsburgh, please say hello to your CEO. What a beautiful 5 years it's been. I had just a small part of Dynamite history, but I put together a package of Dynamite's best moments. So hit it, Money Mike. I assume she's talking to Mike Mansouri. Yes. And of course, she plays this video package and it's all just her.
This was fantastic.
This was unbelievable.
I loved it. I was like, this is what I was expecting kind of MJF to do.
Yeah.
Is just come in. But for a heel to do this, it just take no credit. Just go, that's the best. That's the highlights of all 5 years.
Yeah.
Loved it. Yeah. I loved this segment so much.
They come back and she says, don't you love that, Renee? It's all about me. AEW is where the money resides.
Future and Renee's is so not bright. Selling it. Renee's not disgusted. She's smiling. I'm just like, no. But okay.
Money changes everything. And then MVP shows up and he says, I love big business, and he gives her a card, and Camille's looking over this thing.
Camille almost took a bump for this card.
and Renee Mercedes seemed interested, so maybe we're gonna see Mercedes with MVP. I think if you're black, there's a real good chance that MVP is gonna be interested in you. Just saying. There's nothing wrong with that, is there?
Moving on.
All right. Private Party. Keep your phones on. Okay, we got highlights, and we would get these all night. Highlights of Ishii and Jericho from November 2022, the match where Jericho was bleeding from his chest. And I think that
was interesting. Was I was expecting a lot more promos about the fifth anniversary, and they didn't do them. Instead, they showed like a quick highlight with the people I was expecting, like MJF or Swerve or Omega or something like that.
You know what's funny is for years when WWE would do these kind of things, they would show highlights and they would conveniently leave out the people that were no longer with the company.
Yes.
And that's what AEW did here.
And there's no Cody around in any of these, was there?
Nope. And yet WWE now, when they do their packages, they just did one for NXT and they had Joe on there. They had Adam Cole. They had Keith Lee. Like, they don't care. You know, if they had Swerve,
are they still wrestling?
No, I don't know.
Because that I mean, but that's the old Jeff Hardy joke. Where have you been all these years?
Yeah, Impact. That's great. Yeah, not even they didn't even have the Hardys on here. Like, so yeah, it was crazy.
What did the Hardys do in the 3 years they were in there?
Oh, they had some memorable moments.
I mean, they had some memorable moments.
Matt almost killed himself falling off the ladder.
Okay.
Yeah. After break. Oh, and then they teleported on their debut. We got highlights of the Acclaimed and the Guns for the tag team belts from February 8th, 2023. And then that leads to Renee. Yeah, that was a thing. Like, all the video packages just ended up leading to an interview segment with one of the people in the package, pretty much.
Yes. Right?
So this is Renee with the Guns, and tonight's Juice versus Hangman. And on Saturday on Collision, Hangman tried to hang Juice. And then one of the Guns says, "Pittsburgh, tonight the juice is loose." And before he can get finished, Hangman shows up mid promo, laid out both Guns. And that was great. I loved Hangman here. He's great intensity. And he's
do me a favor, star Matt's comment for after we're done with the show.
Okay, dokie. We'll do that. All right. And by the way, well, we'll talk about that later. Yeah, there's something I want to plug when we do that. So
okay.
All right. Learning Tree segment. Okay, I usually dread these. This wasn't advertised ahead of time. As soon as Excalibur announced it at the beginning of the show, I was like, oh God, are you kidding me? And so Bill's in the ring with a mic and he says, "Remember, as the Learning Tree always says, it's not about the destination, it's about who we become as people along the way." And
he's so great at this dumb role.
"We can all agree that over the 1,825 days, we have all become better people thanks to one man, the Learning Tree, Chris Jericho.
Mongo is but pawn in Game of Life."
It's not Mark Briscoe, but I'm working on it. So this Friday on Rampage, we're going to get Bill and Keith versus Kyle O'Reilly and Orange Cassidy. They plugged that during Chris Jericho's entrance. He comes in. He says, "Hi, guys. Congratulations on 5 years of Dynamite and to the brand new TV deal we just signed. We made a lot of experts look like real idiots, didn't we?" Big pop for that. "There wouldn't even be a new TV deal or an AEW if it weren't for Chris Jericho, so you can thank me for that." And Brian Keith grabs a mic and he says, "Thank you, Chris. Thank you." And the fans chanted along with it. And he goes, "Thanks, guys. It's also the 34th anniversary of my pro wrestling debut. And to think I've gone from Pinoco, Alberta to right here in Philadelphia. Oh, sorry, Pittsburgh. As an 8-time champion is such an unbelievable feeling. At this stage of my career, I thought I wasn't as focused on winning championships as I am on nurturing the branches of the Learning Tree and bringing as many young talents into the Jericho Vortex and to get as much TV time as I can. Over the last few weeks, I had an epiphany. I headlined a sold-out arena, Mexico, and then a week later, I beat Mark Briscoe. So it's time for a new era of Jericho. Time to bring on the Nueve. I'm challenging Mark Briscoe to an ROH world title match at Wrestle Dream. Do you accept, Mark?" So, out comes Mark Briscoe.
Crack your neck a bit because it's your big moment here, Paul.
All right. And he's with Kyle O'Reilly and Orange Cassidy. He's got a mic. Rocky's with them as well. Says, "Settle down, boys. This is between me and Jericho. Now, Chris Jericho, my dada, brought us to behave like men. And part of behaving like a man is to not make excuses. Because I stand here and I make excuses and say, Chris Jericho, I had your ass beat in New York City. You were toast. You was fried chicken. The only way you picked up your victory on the Ring of Honor World Champion is because Big Bill snuck up on me, goozled me by the neck, chokeslammed me through a table, and then you just rolled your limp ass on top of me. I could say that, but I ain't going to make no excuse because it was a tornado tag match. That chokeslam was just as legal as a wrist lock. And you pinned me in New York City 1-2-3 in the middle of the ring. And you know what else behaving like a man entails? That's calling it like it is, calling a spade a spade. And here we are on your 34th anniversary on Chris Jericho. I'm going to call Chris Jericho what he is. Chris, by God, Jericho, for the last 4 decades, this man has been one of the most influential, one of the finest professional wrestlers on the planet." He pauses, fans pop. "And I tell you, that works out good for you that you pinned me in New York City. And logically speaking, you should be getting a world title shot for this title right here, because I would love to put that notch in my belt, if you know what I'm saying. You see, it's also very coincidental that the word of the day is consequential, because consequential is speaking now. I'm going to get you get to put a legendary head on my wall, because when I beat you at Wrestle Dream, Chris Jericho..." And Chris Jericho stops him. He says, "You want to beat the Learning Tree, the legendary Chris Jericho? I don't think you can. You can't beat me. Maybe your brother Jay could have. and the tone changes. Fans boo, Mark's pissed. But everyone knows you'll never be as good as Jay was. And he emphasized was like that. Freaking asshole.
By the way, your impression has gotten very good. I must commend you on that.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So Briscoe decked him and dropped him. And he said, and I want to say, and I'm going to change. And he says, you can't go there, Jericho. Get my brother's name out of your damn mouth. Do you understand me? At Wrestle Dream, you're going to get a Briscoe brother style ass whooping. I accept your challenge. That right there, son, that's consequential. And that was that. This was freaking awesome.
I loved it. Yeah. This is great.
The match itself, I have no
interest. 10-10, no notes from me. I mean, I was a little fearful like that he was going to return the favor and say, you know what? You said you were friends with Eddie Guerrero. You're no Eddie Guerrero or something to that effect to get the equal but opposite thing. But he didn't. He's a pure babyface. This is great. Loved it. And I loved the tone change, the tonal change. And he didn't think about it. He didn't like get revved up or do any pro wrestling acting. He just decked him. It was fantastic.
Yeah. And then he like his mood changed. His voice changed.
Oh, his entire body changed. You could see it. And it was so.
And Chris going that your brother was like so subtle, but so good.
Oh, yeah. Like, it was total dick move. It was great.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I was very, very, very impressed with this. And yeah, so we're going to get that match at Wrestle Dream. Again, I'm not looking forward to the match at all, but I mean, I love the promo. So this is what I was talking about. Like when I was arguing with people about Danielson and Ospreay being booked and, oh, just shut up and watch the show. It's going to be great. You know, it's going to be great, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, I like the build. You know, sometimes I like the build more than the match. And this is a perfect example of that.
That's what makes pro wrestling a great thing. And this is what I tell the sickos who don't believe me and the people who tell me I'm old and I shouldn't be doing this and whatever. I go, dude, the build is so instrumental to you loving the match.
Can I get crass for a second?
Please.
Why have a night of lovemaking with your wife when you can just jerk off? You know what I mean? Like that's the difference between Danielson Okada and having an actual build and then getting the match. You know what I mean? Like
I'm still processing what you just said right there. Uh-huh.
You're not married, so.
No, thanks. Well, there's a burial. Well, you know, there's still a chance I could have a night of love making with your wife. You'd be like, Paul.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like, there's a difference. Yeah, all love what happens at the end, but it's the journey, you know?
Well, exactly. It's like the big fight scene getting built up and built up. Like I mean, again, and I try. This is when I was doing like a lot of flashback episodes. We did like way back in the day on my other show. We did like the 100 greatest matches you need to see in WWE history, and that included like a lot of the NWA stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to explain. Look, we only had two pay per views, and you had to build this stuff for 6 months. And sometimes you'd repeat yourself, and there was baby steps usually, and there'd always be like a hot angle here and there, and you know it would increase and it would intensify until you got to the moment where we need to settle this crap, and it's going to be in a cage so nobody can escape, and I'm going to make you say I quit or whatever. You know, I'm going. You know what? I'm going to emasculate you by telling you that you need to quit to me, and you need to give that up, and you'd explain those stipulations in the weeks. And months. Do you know how embarrassing it is for you to look at your family and say you quit to another man, you know, et cetera, like that? It's all part of the world building. And that's what AEW does poorly.
That's one way to do it. And I mean, the other guys are doing it with Drew and Punk right now. I will say, I wrote an article on Fight Game Media this week, and you can check it out. Just go to fightgamemedia.com. It'll be near the top. And it was I thought the match that perfectly exemplifies, actually, there's two matches that perfectly exemplify the differences between AEW and WWE. One was tonight, Danielson Okada and the build, quote unquote, and the match. The other is Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman. Now, if you told me a month ago, okay, in a month, we're going to have two matches on the same week. One is going to be Bronson Reed and Braun Strowman. One is going to be Bryan Danielson and Okada. Which one do you think I would have been more looking forward to?
The one tonight.
Right. Which one do you think I enjoyed more?
The big bad men doing bad things.
And it's because of the build, and it's because they gave you exactly what they told you that you were going to get. And they did callbacks. The finish was a perfect bookend to the start of the angle. It was beautiful booking, and AEW fans, the sickos, would hate it. They yes. would watch it, and they would say,
The ring breaking. What corny.
We saw that 20 years ago with the Big Show. But then if Lance Archer and Keith Lee did it, oh my God, this is a little
yes, yes. But it's anyways. All based on the company doing it. And by the way, as Woody Allen once said, don't knock masturbation. It's sex with somebody I love.
True. All right. I mean, yeah, it's easier to. All right. Just doesn't cost as much right. sometimes.
All right.
We got a Darby Allin video. He said, when I was 19, I used to ride the Metro. One night on the back of the bus, something hit my head. I looked around. There's three guys laughing at me, and it turns out they were taking turns spitting at me. And I turned around, tried to mind my own business, but it was killing me that I didn't do anything about it. Then I felt it again. Turned around, got right in his face. He says, what are you going to do about it, bitch? And he pulled out a switchblade. And I said, well, looks like I'm going to get stabbed tonight. And he challenged all three guys. Didn't take long for everyone on the bus to break up the fight. And then weeks ago, when Mox said I wasn't ready, all I could picture was those three guys on the bus. I couldn't do anything. You live by the sword, you die by the sword. I was so fixated on Moxley. I kept saying I'm ready to be the face of the company, and now people are losing faith in me. Hell, I'm losing faith in myself. So what else can I do but fight? I'm going to be at the Tacoma Dome at Wrestle Dream. I got an open challenge to anyone in the locker room. Step right up. I got nothing to lose. October 12th, Wrestle Dream, open challenge, step up. Really good.
Good promo. Absolute bullshit, because nobody breaks up a fight on public transit. They just let it go until somebody's beat up.
I have no problem believing Darby attacked three guys.
That, I have no problem with that. I had a problem with people breaking it up. But no, this is great. Who do you think answers the call?
I mean, it should be Claudio. I mean, we should be.
I don't think it's going to be somebody huge.
Oh, it could just be.
Like, I'm thinking Lance Archer level.
Oh, it better not be Tony Nese.
No, it's gonna be a giant, or it's gonna be somebody big, or maybe Minoru Suzuki or something like that.
Yeah.
Although he just kind of turned babyface, but he's still that threat.
Doesn't matter. Yeah. I like Lance Archer. That's a good one. Him and Darby always have good matches.
Yeah,
I can see that. I want to say something else as well, and I meant to say this during the Mark Briscoe thing. When Mark Briscoe did his promo, do you notice how many times he said New York? he said New York like four or five times in that promo. I thought it was interesting. And the guys tonight were doing a great job of getting that Data Wrestle Dream out there. They said it every chance they got. Like, I thought that was really good. Title Tuesday, not so much. But Wrestle Dream, we know when that is.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Next up, Hangman Page and Juice Robinson. So this was set up on Saturday. I don't remember how it was set up.
Lumberjack strap match, and then Page ended up hanging him, and that was I saw that promo afterwards. Where, Hangman, you gonna hang me?
Yeah. I didn't watch that promo because it was on Twitter, but Juice Robinson in that match was like Randy Savage that stepped out of a time machine from Memphis and ICW. Like, he looks exactly the same as Savage did back then.
If you want to see a great lumberjack strap match promo, go watch the one with Tully and Arn where Jim Crockett tells him about it.
Oh, okay.
All right. Belts?
Yeah. I
thought this was wrestling. But yeah, it's a great one.
So Hangman attacked him during his entrance. Juice had a leather strap, starts whipping Page. They're outside. The match hasn't even started. Hangman gets the belt from him, threatened Aubrey, then started whipping Juice. Threw the belt in the crowd, beat on Juice some more. Cowboy shit chance. He set up a table. He's going to pile drive Juice through it, but Juice gave him a back body drop on the concrete. That table ended up being the, Chekhov's something?
Chekhov's table?
Chekhov's, yeah, because it was there at the end.
Yeah.
They went in the stands. I noted here that the crowd was not as hot into this as the opener. And actually, like, this was like almost an hour into the show, and this is the second match. So this was not a typical AEW show with a lot of wrestling.
There was some talking going on between Juice and the crowd. I guess he pulled like a handful of popcorn or something.
He got a drink from one fan, threw it in Hangman's face, and then he got a bowl of popcorn, threw that in Hangman. They ended up back in the ring, and like Juice has got like popcorn all over his beard and stuff. And it was here. An hour into the show, that the Excalibur mentioned that Taz was attacked by unknown assailants in the parking lot, checked out and referred to his doctors in New York City. So he's on his way back to the Big Apple. So they finally start the match. They go a couple minutes and they go through pitcher and pitcher. They come back. Crowd's still dead. Juice hit with a superplex. Nigel said last week he didn't say thank you to Danielson. He thanked Tony Khan. So they're still denying that he said fuck you, but he totally said it. I went back and watched. They go outside the ring. Hangman's beating on him, dropped him on the apron, broke the count. Juice gave him a spine buster, somersault cannonball through a barricade. Hangman went for a deadeye from the top rope. Juice reversed it, hit a powerbomb for two. Then the ref got involved and distracted, and Hangman hit a low blow. Then he hit the buckshot and got the win. And that was that. It was 12 minutes. That should have been four. And Hangman won. That's all I got to say. It was fine. And then Hangman took off his belt, started choking Juice with it. He was going to hang him. And this leads to the return of Jay White. So as soon as they booked this match, I figured this was what was going to happen, as I mentioned earlier. Hit Hanger with a clothesline. And then they went back to the checkoffs table, and White speared him through it. Juice was back there. He helped him up, and Juice was very happy that he was back. So, yeah. That was
so now all the Bang Bang Gang are now baby faces.
Yep. And Hangman and Jay White have quite the history. And I don't think they have time to tell it. But they did a little bit in the Cruiser. I always call it the Cruiserweight Classic, in the Continental Classic, in the C2, because I think they wrestled once there. And that was the first time Hangman had ever beaten Jay White. And they've wrestled a bunch of times. They go back to Ring of Honor, New Japan. They were both young boys at one point. And they've got this long history. So it'll be a great match. Hangman should win, but we'll see. Jay White's coming back. Maybe he should win. I don't know. I like matches where you don't know who's going to win. So. We go to Remarkable Renee. She's in the parking lot. 5th anniversary of Dynamite. I'm waiting for one of the originals. And who should pull up but Jack Perry and his bus? And before he can get involved, Shibata approaches. And he's got his translator. And he says, you and me, TNT Championship, Wrestle Dream. And Perry says he'll think about it. He walked away. And then he turned around. Renee screamed, ah! And he attacked Shibata, threw him into the bus. And then he accepted the challenge.
I thought this was well done.
Yeah,
especially the timing of I'll think about it. Then he just turns around and comes right back at him. And
yeah, and Shibata was looking down at his translator because he was going to flirt with Renee. So that was actually pretty good too.
No, it was actually well staged. I liked this.
Mm-hmm. And there was blood on the front of the thing, but I think that's still back from believe it or not, Double or Nothing.
That's
when he ran over Darby. I think that's what that's from. But so Dynamite debut, they showed Mox attacking Kenny, and they had that wild match where he put him through glass. And I almost swore off of Dynamite when I saw that. But that was that. And then they showed December 15th, 2021, Hangman and Danielson going to a draw. So it's funny. They showed highlights of two different Danielson matches that both went to a draw. So I think that was to try to get you to think that the one with Okada was going to go through to draw too.
I don't think they went that deep, but okay.
Okay. Well, that's what I thought anyways. Maybe I'm thinking too hard.
Mm-hmm.
And this led to a Danielson promo. And he said, Okada, I'll get to you in a moment, but I got one sentence in my head. Fuck John Moxley. This isn't about you, not your world championship. This isn't even mine. It's AEW's world championship. 5 years ago, we broke the system that wrestling was built on. This is where the best wrestle. Now he's back to talking to Okada. We've wrestled twice. We both won one. You broke my arm, but not my spirit. Tonight, we find out who is the best. Your title is only on the line for 20 minutes. But every single minute of this match, this title is on the line and my career is on the line. AEW, this is for you. Great promo. Should have had it last week, but it was
good. Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, it was great promo. Next up. Okay. Britt Baker and Serena Deeb. They do the entrance from the back like they do in WWE. She's got her terrible towel. She comes in through the crowd. They showed highlights of...
Before you start, Pittsburgh is a terrible city. Primanti Brothers sucks. The Steelers suck. I hate everything about it. Let's move on. Okay.
Bengals fan over there. March 17th, 2021, highlights of Britt Baker and Thunder Rosa air. Excalibur pointed out that Britt was unbeaten in Pittsburgh. I want to point out here, I didn't pay a ton of attention to this match because my daughter was screaming her freaking face off. She hates AEW, and my wife made me bring her downstairs from upstairs because she was tired and wanted to go to bed. So
she a Fedhead?
Yeah. Huh. She's Becky Lynch's best friend.
But I know she's picked sides. Okay.
When she is forced to watch AEW like on Wednesdays, and it always happens on Wednesdays, she screams. Like, it takes me 15 minutes to calm her down. So certain matches I don't pay as much attention to. And this was one of them. Yeah. So no, I got some notes. So I wrote down, Excalibur pointed out she's unbeaten in Pittsburgh. She was over with the crowd, lots of DMD chants, but then when they weren't chanting, they didn't care about the match at all. Excalibur pointed out that, Mariah was watching from the stands, and he pointed out that Tony Storm has been wrestling in Stardom and teaming with Mina Shirakawa, who is Mariah's best friend. And then it dawned on me, why is Tony Storm not here? Like, have they explained this? Like, she lost it all in and we haven't seen her since, and she's off wrestling in Stardom. Like, doesn't make any sense, but whatever. So Mariah's watching. Britt hit an air raid crash. They cut to Mariah instead of the ring. They were trading pinfalls. Britt kept going for the lockjaw. Serena reversed into a single leg crab. Britt fought out. Britt hit an avalanche air raid crash for two. No reaction from the kick out because they know she's not finishing it with anything but the lockjaw. And then Serena rolled her up, and then Britt went for the lockjaw, hit it, and Serena immediately taps. And that was that. Match was fine.
Things I noticed.
Okay.
Number one, Serena made Britt corpse really hard right before the match. I don't know what it was, but I think it was part of her playing the I believe Brian Alvarez may have also picked up on this at one time, but it's something I have noticed. And I think this is the fault of Tony Khan and the constant switching of Deeb back and forth from babyface to heel. She works both simultaneously during the match at times. Cause like during the picture in picture, she is putting on like a leg lock and she was going to stomp the knees, but she was telling the crowd to like get excited. And then she works the crowd like a heel right after that, you know, going up and doing the Hogan thing. Even when
she
comes out,
she hands out her flag to a fan.
No, that's the security.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
But yes, even the flag part is, and it's like one of those things where I like the professor character. I wish she'd play it a little harder, you know, like the Dean Malenko Iceman type of character that it's based on. Yes. There was a lot of internet pundit backlash on Britt Baker about this match.
Really?
And I don't know why, because it wasn't that bad of a match. I would agree with them that I think Britt over the years has been a little bit overexposed. I agree in some respects that Britt's reach exceeds her grasp in terms of her thinking of her being a great worker. But there's a lot of people who are just done watching Britt Baker who used to have positions at other websites and whatnot, and it shocked me because I didn't think this was that bad. I thought it was actually, I wouldn't say it was very good, but it was pretty good. And they just go, well, they've signed so many women, I want to see somebody else. And I was just like, wow, that's a statement.
She right just there. Came back, like, yeah. It's not like she's overexposed. Literally, this is her first match, but since All Out.
Well, yes, but remember also, she lost that match at All Out, and it looks like they're positioning her for the bigger title now.
I don't think so.
With Mariah in there. Yeah, I know they filmed the segment later that Willow is getting there, so it's like, you lose your lower title, and now you get the bigger one.
I still wouldn't be surprised if, like, this may have been her swan song. Maybe you wanted to give her one more match in her hometown.
I would not be surprised, or it was a test to see if she'd want to stay. Would not be shocked either way. I've heard some rumblings that she asked for a release of a while ago, but I can't confirm that, so I'm not going to report that. And please don't do that on the internet to me.
I'm just basing it on the booking.
That too.
Yeah. So Serena beat on Britt afterwards. Queen Aminata made the save, and then Britt's
I'm here
music
for Aminata
played.
And Deeb. Mariah was
just smiling at ringside.
Also, well, kind of interesting. It's going to be a doctor and a lawyer teaming up together.
Yeah, I assume we're going to get that tag match, or maybe they already announced it. I don't know. Yeah.
Grad school people represent.
So, January 2024, they showed highlights of Samoa Joe and Hook world title match. 5 years of Dynamite, and this was one of the highlights they picked. Okay. Renee with Hook, she said, your dad was attacked here and he was flown back to New York City. Do you have any information? And he just looks at the camera. He says, you start shit with my family, I'm going to find out who did this and I'm coming for you. And the next shot is Christian Cage
saying hook, line, and sinker in the promo. Yeah.
Sit, he said, sit down, Pittsburgh, shut your mouth while I conduct my business. 5 year anniversary. If all of you were in awe, you ain't seen nothing yet. I'm the face of TBS. I'm the reigning, defending next AW World Championship. I'm your patriarch, your father figure. I'm going to have it all. Hook, line, and sinker. So there you go.
This is going to be him and Nick probably involved in this. He's going to cut a promo on Taz's father. Thoughts and prayers to Luchasaurus.
Yeah. Yeah. It's too bad. He, some sort of blood thing or something. No, it was a lung pneumonia, right?
Lung.
Yeah.
Pneumonia.
Yeah. Yeah. That scared me. All right. We got highlights of, Megan Danielson from September 22nd, 2021, another draw. Great match. And, Renee backstage with Mariah. She says, you defended your belt only to have Willow come back. And then she says, yeah, only I don't I you know what? I'm just gonna do
this. Ends with Willow attacking. Yeah,
she did a promo just talking about how Willow keeps losing and getting better matches every time she loses, and it leads up to this.
Willow hit her pretty hard doing this stuff.
Willow comes in, called her a shady bitch. She wanted a world title shot. They screamed at each other, they got in a fight, and yeah, like you said, it was pretty brutal. Security came in, broke it up, including Christopher Daniels.
Mariah May's great at this character. I just want her to move outside of the Willow thing a little bit and go into some other people.
And you know what else? Like, okay, so we had... Do you remember the Willow's pay-per-view match? It's against Chris Statlander, right?
Yes.
The Chicago Street Fight.
And Statlander won that, didn't she?
Yes, she did. And we have not seen her since. And she did a promo on Collision, and she says... She complains about the fact that she won and now it's Willow that's getting all the opportunities, but she said, I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to say, why am I not getting my time? I know my time will come. And that was it.
No, you should complain.
No Stokely with her anymore. I don't know if that's a permanent thing. No, but Stokely's
watching private party matches now.
He's watching tag team matches because he's going to be part of MVP's group, I think. Nah. So next up, we'd been told earlier we were going to get Private Party in action. And of course, they're introduced and their opponents are already in the ring. It's the Iron Savages. They showed highlights of them beating the Young Bucks on episode 2, October 9th, 2019. And Excalibur here had to correct himself because earlier he had pointed out that Christian was the number one contender. But he's not the number one contender. He just has an open contract. So
correct.
And I'm sure Tony was probably on the internet. And
hey, when do the next rankings come out?
Probably the day after.
Moving on, let's go.
Yeah. Stokely watched this match from backstage. Excalibur points out, what's he doing getting his business into? It was very mumbled, and he's clearly trying to get the word business into his sentence. And this was just a quick match. They hit the silly string on Bronson and got the win, and that was that. And Zay asked for a mic, and he says, let me get something off my chest. This leads the crowd in a Pittsburgh chant. At the beginning of the year, we said, new years, new champs. I swear to God, we meant every word of it. I don't care if my hand and shoulder are messed up. I don't care if my brother's Mark is coming back from surgery. We will be your next AEW World Tag Team Championships. Young Bucks, I hope you're listening. We beat you once, and I promise you we can do it again. And I'm feeling a little bit froggy. We're ready to jump. Matt, Nick, Young Bucks, let's do this right here, right now. And the Bucks music plays. They're sitting on the stage. Nick's got a mic. And he says, listen, you can't have an anniversary show without the two people who built this damn company. Matt takes over. He says, Private Party, you seem super confident. I got an idea. We have a substantial overrun. Definitely time for my idea. So why don't Nicholas and Matthew, and that's our names, get them right, put their world tag team titles on the line right here, right now in Pittsburgh. You want that? Get a ref down here. And then Matt says, second thought, we got super limited dates. We aren't going to waste one of them on a crappy town like Pittsburgh.
Super limited dates.
Yeah.
Only the sickoest of sickos will get that reference.
Well, it's Brian Alvarez, right?
Yeah.
So Jack Perry showed up while the Bucks were talking, attacked them. Bucks joined in. And okay, Shibata ran out to make the save. I wrote down A-H-I-B-A-T-A, and I thought Aminata? I don't know. But yeah, so, and I wrote down six.
I gotta pay for that too. Queen Aminata versus the Young Bucks. Let's do this.
Yeah. And I wrote down we're probably getting a 6-man on Collision, but it's better than that. Chris Daniels comes out. He says, "You've been a thorn in the side of the Young Bucks since the very beginning, so I'd love to give you an opportunity to piss them both off. How about Private Party and Shibata team up on Rampage against Jack Perry and the two of you right here in Pittsburgh?" And then Excalibur said, "We're going to see that match next Friday." So I don't know if he misspoke. Is there no Rampage this week?
I think baseball playoffs.
So it is next Friday.
Yes.
Okay. But they're taping it tonight.
Probably.
So like 9 days ahead. Okay. And you know what I heard? And I don't know if this is true. I think it's true. AEW at this moment does not know if they're going to have a Collision on the day before WrestleDream. Like they don't know. Like, I think it depends on the playoffs.
Does
so they
it matter?
Don't. Well, they'd have to tape matches for it. So yeah. And like, they're not like it's not gonna be a live show. So like, if they do, they're going to have to tape matches next week at Dynamite for Collision, but maybe by next week they'll know, but they don't know right now.
So whatever happens has to happen on Dynamite.
Correct. And that's the go home show for the pay-per-view. So interesting. Next Friday. So yeah, that's that. So I assume that's probably going to lead to Young Bucks against Private Party at the pay-per-view.
I would guess so. Yeah.
I thought that would be a good Title Tuesday match, but guess not. We'll get to
title. I love the joke, Matt. Don't get me wrong.
What joke?
I heard they're taping game 3 of the ALCS before game 1 because of the schedule.
Oh, that's good.
That was very good. I wish I had thought of it. Now I hate you.
April 3rd, 2024, they show highlights of Joe and Swerve doing a brawl during a contract signing. And that leads to Renee with MVP. She says, "Welcome to MVP. We're told you had an announcement." Yeah, they've been building this up all night. And he says, "What better occasion than tonight, the 5th anniversary? I'd like to introduce to you." And before he can say anything, he's interrupted by Prince Nana. And he says, "Last week you were talking spicy about me and Swerve, but you forgot something. Prince Nana used to be a wrestler, and I'll lace up these boots just for you." And MVP says, "I don't deal with complaints. Talk to my complaint department." And they turn around, and there's Shelton Benjamin in a suit. Says, "That's my business partner." I don't believe he identified him. I guess we're all just supposed to know all the people that wrestle on Main Event in WWE. And then Benjamin looks at him. He says, "You were saying," grabs his coffee. He says, "Good talk." And he drank the coffee. "Oh, good coffee." And they walk away. And Nana's confused, and Renee doesn't care.
Someone labeled him.
Did they?
Yeah, it was either Excalibur right afterwards. Oh, okay.
All right, good. So it's his own name.
Or MVP did during this. My complaint was Shelton Benjamin. I think the mic missed it because Renee was moving the mic away from him.
Okay, gotcha. I thought maybe they didn't know what his name was going to be, but I guess it's his own name, so they can't.
Yes.
They aired a nice little video for Brody Lee.
This is very nice.
Yeah. And that was that. No commentary, no nothing, just a bunch of highlights. July 17th, 2024, highlights of MJF and Will Ospreay, which may be the best match in Dynamite history. I don't know. Main event, definitely not the best match in Dynamite history. Kazuchika Okada and Bryan Danielson. So
this is long.
Yeah. So they started this match at 9:54 my time. So that's, 9:54 Eastern, 8:54 my time. 6:54 your time. Six minutes before the show was over. Yes. I'm just going to use the time in the show. And the Continental title was only on the line for the first 20 minutes. So if the match ends in the first 20 minutes, Danielson is the Continental champion if he beats him, obviously. And if Okada wins at any point, he's a new world champion. And Danielson has to retire. So during this match, Okada was killing time. Like you wouldn't believe for the first 20 minutes. And this is something that I've talked about on the show. Part of the Continental title is it's got a 20-minute time limit. The fact that Okada wrestles a very deliberate style all the time and really doesn't even kick in until 15 minutes. Like he's sleepwalking for the first 15 minutes of every match. They needed to tell that story every single time. because that should be part of the opponent should be trying to get him out of that to try to win the title. And they finally told the story, you know, but it was more about like, he wants to win the world title, but he doesn't want to lose his title. So he's just going to run out the clock. And Nigel was saying, hey, smart strategy. They do this in sports all the time, blah, blah, blah. So they basically like, they did some really good wrestling for the first 19 minutes, but nobody cared because they knew the match wasn't going to end. Justin didn't even do a time call till 19 minutes left. And when he did, the fans kind of booed a little bit. Danielson had a LaBelle lock on at that point at 19 minutes. And then he secured an arm and he's trying to do like two submissions at once, but Okada made the ropes with 30 seconds left. So he has to break up the hold. Danielson hit a Busaku knee. Okada rolled out of the ring and the front row fans stood up and cheered, and 20 minute call and the crowd groaned. So now it's just the world title on the line. So I noted that they did a picture in picture at with 3 minutes left in the hour, and they came back at 1 minute after the hour. That could prove to be not smart because people change the channel at the top of the hour and yes. They may have thought the show was over. So I didn't know about that. And then they do another picture in picture from 9:15 to 9:19. So 15 minutes, 19. They come back. Danielson's doing the head stops 21 minutes in or 21 minutes after the hour. So we're 27 minutes into the match now. Rainmaker from Okada. Danielson missed a knee, can't make the cover. Okada hit a Busaku knee for two. Danielson hit a Rainmaker for two. Okada hit a neck breaker, picked him up for the Rainmaker, hit it. And then Claudio shows up through the crowd and he's glaring at Okada. And then Okada hits another Rainmaker. And then he looks to the other side of the ring and there's Pac. And he's about to go for another Rainmaker. And just Danielson reversed it into a backslide and got the 1-2-3. That's it. And the match was over. Okada's pissed off because he feels that Claudio and Pac cost him the match, which is bullshit. I will say I gave this match 4 stars. I think if you told me that you would give Danielson and Okada like 30 plus minutes for a match, I'm not sure they could have possibly had a worse match than this if they tried.
No,
even though it was still a 4-star match, but like
no, this is the very definition of pizza. Even when it's not very good, it's good, and
it's still pizza. Yeah,
it's still pizza. I just couldn't believe there was absolutely nothing inventive in this match.
No,
it was. If you said it was, but I mean, and this is where the build comes in. Like if you had told me that Bryan Danielson and Okada were going to have a match, and you asked me, "What? I mean, if you asked me what you thought it would be, this wouldn't have been it because I said, oh, they're going to really want to pull out all the stops for it because it's such a special occasion, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. This was, I'm going to do my hits. You're going to do your hits. And that's it.
We're going to do each other's finisher.
We'll do each other's finisher. Da, 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 da. You know, that kind of thing. I mean, I was bored by this match, Paul.
This was like Tanahashi and Okada doing their match 5 years after the famous match at the Tokyo
Dome. This is Tanahashi and anybody doing a Tanahashi match at a WrestleMania weekend.
There you go.
You get the half speed, 3/4 speed Okada. Or not Okada, but Tanahashi. But you get all the hits. You get him playing air guitar. You get him, you know, doing the high fly flow. You know, you get
Danielson. Yes, 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 and yeah, the Busaku.
Yeah, this is a WWE house show match because everybody comes to see the different moves that they saw on television,
and
they
very got to good. See that. Don't get me wrong, but
yes,
I thought Jason. I don't know if he's still watching or listening.
Cromulent. This he is the epitome of Cromulent.
Jason put it great. He says, I'm really enjoying this Bryan Danielson versus Randy Okada match.
Oh, man. I don't think Okada's Randy Orton bad.
Well, in terms of Randy Orton's not bad.
No, I don't think he's that plodding like Randy. Yeah, yeah. Randy Orton plods along at this point. He is doing big man wrestling. And he better let Javon Evans beat him.
This was you said a house show match. I would even go as far as to say it was like a Raw main event.
No, it was a main event house show match, though. I mean, it's one of those ones where it's like, you know, you get Flair and Steamboat doing 60. And if you hadn't been exposed to Flair and Steamboat on television, you'd love this match.
Yeah.
But because you've seen the Bryan Danielson match and you've seen the Okada match, and this was just a combination of the two. To me, I mean, there wasn't a special heat in there. There wasn't any, like, Okada wasn't taking any sadistic pleasure in beating up Bryan. He was just waiting to do the middle finger spot for the most part.
And the crowd was dead for the first 20 minutes because they knew that the match wasn't going to end in the first 20.
Right, and they were waiting for the first kick out, pretty much.
And then they picked up during that ending sequence when they were trading finishers and stuff, but still nowhere near what they were like in the opener. And I think everyone expected, oh, Claudio Packer just going to run in and interfere, and then the match could be over.
But everybody was ahead of the match, and that's always a problem with AEW because you know that they're saving him for Wrestle Dream, so nobody's going to expect him to win. So there's no anticipation of it. So what we're doing is we're getting conciliatory applause for being entertained in a way.
And I think, okay, Tony Khan knew that they were going to make the television announcement today, and if you had asked Tony Khan 5 years ago, what's your dream match that, you know, out of any wrestlers in the world that you could have on an AEW Dynamite? I think Will Ospreay and Ricochet and Bryan Danielson and Okada on the same show would have been pretty high on that list.
Yeah, so would Edge versus Christian, probably.
Yeah, unfortunately, Edge is hurt, or we probably would have got that too. So that's that. So as soon as the match is over, Okada leaves. He's pissed off. He gave Claudio and Pac the finger. Why? They didn't do anything.
They stood there.
That's it.
They were an imminent threat.
Sure. So Pac and Claudio got in the ring. They lifted Danielson up, and they're Danielson's looking at something, and the announcers are talking about something. And I assumed it was Mox, but they took forever to show him. And then finally he shows up and he's got Marina with him. And because she's always there, I have no idea.
I think he missed his cue.
Yeah. Well, I still have no idea why she's there. I don't even know if Mox knows she's there at this point. He grabs a mic and he says, "You think this is all about me? You think any of this is about me? Let me get something through your simple, blue-minded, pickleberry brain. None of this is what I wanted. This is bigger than myself. Everything I do is because I have to. No one else can. If this was about me, I'd have put you out of your misery years ago." And he throws the mic down. And Excalibur says, "Who's forcing Moxley's hand? We don't know." And Tony Schiavone says, "He's just talking in riddles." And then they're about to beat down Danielson, and who should show up but Wheeler Yuta. And he made the save with a hammer. Everyone took off. And then Moxley gets back in the ring, and he confronted him. And he's daring Wheeler to use it. And so we've got Moxley on one side of the ring, Wheeler in the middle, Danielson in the corner, down. I mean, everyone must have thought Wheeler was going to just turn around and nail Danielson with this hammer, right? Did you think that was coming or no?
I had it as a possibility, but I didn't think it was coming.
Okay. I did, but it didn't. So they're teasing that they're going to do it. And then Mox ends up getting attacked by Danielson. Pox and Claudio were brawling. Mox and Marina bailed. Pac brawling with Danielson, he took off, and then Pac followed. Wheeler and Danielson were left in the ring. Wheeler gets a mic, and he says, "Claudio, Pac, I'm sick and tired of the two of you. Treat me like a child. I'm not a child. I'm my own man. I can make my own decisions and fight my own fights. And speaking of fights, next week, Title Tuesday, it's the two of you want to get to Bryan Danielson. You're going to have to go through me too. What is that?" Oh, I wrote down, what does that have to do with titles? Danielson next week, Title Tuesday. Bryan Danielson, Wheeler Yuta against Claudio and Pac. What do you say? And before he can even get the sentence out of his mouth, Tony Schiavone says that Tony Khan signed the match. And they got a graphic, and that's that. We're getting that match on Title Tuesday. The only match announced for Title Tuesday, and it's not for a title.
The major takeaway from this angle was Excalibur giving up the ghost. That who's forcing Moxley to do this?
Yes.
To me.
Yeah.
And if that was true, that there is somebody pulling the strings here, Excalibur should have never used that line because it now ruins the surprise. And I think there's only one of two people it can be.
Here comes the money.
I think it's either Shane McMahon.
Yeah.
Or it's Wheeler Yuta himself. Because those are the only two answers you could get. Like Wheeler Yuta is some sort of Kaiser Soze type figure who has been orchestrating all this to be the main heel. And he's not a good enough actor to do it. So I think it's a mistake if that's what it's going to be. If they're going to do the Ole Anderson, you know, beats up Dusty in the cage moment with the assassins and the Russians and whatnot, and everybody just turns on him type of a thing. And Wheeler Yuta has been shown to be the one pulling the strings somehow.
I got another possibility for you.
Regal's going to show up?
No. and this would involve someone else that could join the Wheeler side, you know, assuming he's a babyface. MJF. He hasn't had a crew in a long time. And that would be like a serious heel group.
What, did Moxley did MJF buy the Blackpool Combat Club?
Maybe.
Feels like Shane McMahon to me is going to show up on Tuesday.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. Title Tuesday.
Because all these guys are ex-NXT.
By the way, I didn't point out that. Oh, yeah. I didn't even think of that. I didn't. And so was Regal, right? And Regal's the one that put the group together.
Yes.
And Marina, too.
I know that. I said this last week, by the way. This shouldn't be a revelation to you. This was my thinking, was that everybody in this stable is now, now that you've got, quote unquote, gotten rid of Wheeler, is ex-NXT. It's a perfect segue for Shane to come in and allude to the other company. But
next week, they're going head-to-head with
it. Head-to-head with NXT, yes.
For an hour. I didn't mention this at all tonight yet. But as they were plugging Title Tuesday all week, and I don't know if people even noticed this, Dynamite's starting an hour late next week.
Is it?
Yes. It's 9/8 Central. So I assume it's still 2 hours, which means that we're going to have a late show on the wrong day next week, which sucks for me because it's date night, but I'll figure it out. So they go 9 to 11, I guess. Right? Or no, 8 to 10. No, 9 to 11. Yeah, 8 to 10 Central. So.
Right, 9 to 11:30 for them.
Matt keeps putting this in there. Don't worry, I started your comment. We'll get to it. Okay, so let's get to Matt's comment here. He wished he'd asked this at the beginning of the show. What are some of your favorite memories of the first 5 years of Dynamite? And I want to point out that Garrett Gonzalez put together a article that's on Fight Game Media right now, and he asked for feedback from people in the Fight Game Media Discord, as well as some of the podcasters and writers. And we've got that up there. So my moment was the Brody tribute that Matt's mentioned here. If you want some other ones, I would say I really, really like the Danielson Garcia match, the 2 out of 3 falls that Garcia won. I would say Sting's debut was very memorable, obviously. One that nobody ever mentions that was a favorite for me was the first show when they shut everything down. When they came in, the one where the Hardys and Brody Lee debuted. I see the Hardys. It was just Matt. But March 11th, I think it was. It was the 18th, I think. And I just, for me, like, I've been watching WWE all week in these empty buildings. And then, like, they had wrestlers at ringside. And it felt more like a real show. And it gave me hope at a time when I really needed it. You know, the world felt like it was going to end. And so that, for me, was a really big moment.
And, yeah, I think it's personal to your taste what your favorite moments were. Like for me, it was the 6-man with FTR and Tully Blanchard versus the Jurassic Express, because I needed closure on Tully Blanchard's career. I never really got it because, of course, he never got to go back to the NWA. He wrestled at a couple of Slamborees pay-per-views, but he was never part of weekly television. I always enjoyed that. I enjoyed the turn on MJF on Jericho in the Inner Circle. I thought that was a very well done angle, even though it didn't get there. FTR's debut was pretty good. Cody had a couple of ladder matches on Dynamite that were just absolutely fantastic.
I thought of one, the angle where they did the 10 straps on Cody.
Yeah.
That was really good.
Cody Andrade, I really liked too.
Oh, yeah.
That was a great little match that I liked. There's a lot of good tag matches. I like Tag Team Appreciation Night. I thought that was one of my favorite moments.
Can I say one for one of our former podcast partners? Well, I guess he still kind of is. Kevin Ely would say, Action Andretti beating Chris Jericho. He was there live. And yeah. he loved that, like, because it was completely unexpected.
The hybrid 2 versus FTR was a pretty good match, as I recall.
What? Who is that? Hybrid 2?
Jack Evans and Angelico.
Oh, I miss Jack Evans. I like Jack
I do
Evans.
Too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like Pineapple Pete.
Oh, God. That was something that was becoming something and then it turned into nothing. A lot like Cody's open. Oh, when Eddie Kingston debuted.
Yeah. Matt brings up here. I put this up on the screen, but I'll read it. He had Ospreay versus MJF. The bell popped for Omega versus Danielson. It sold out. Arthur Ashe. Kingston's promo on CM Punk. No one wanted you here and fight me. Ospreay and Swerve face to face. The
Punk's promo on MJF was very good. I thought the Will You Be My yes. Valentine.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. That was really good. Yeah. I liked. Oh, you know what? One thing I liked was the reveal of the Pinnacle. Remember that?
Yes. No, that's why I said MJF's turn on Jericho, the Pinnacle.
Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I forgot that. That was, yeah. It was so well set up. Like,
yes.
And I mean, you didn't see it coming that when it happened, it's like, oh man, I should have seen this coming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That was, that was the height of FTR and AEW, I think. I mean, they've had some good matches since then, but that was so good. Yeah,
MJF. I actually liked, you know what I liked? I liked that Octagon match with Swagger and Wardlow.
Yeah, I liked that too. I really did.
Oh, and that's the other thing I think AEW did that got into my feels a little bit was they actually put a War Games match on television.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dumb as that first ending was.
Yeah.
I liked it. Oh, I hated it. Oh. With the false bomb with Jericho falling through. Oh, that was stupid.
Well, they just did they shouldn't have showed the camera angles.
They shouldn't have done the. Well, I was hoping that they WWF-ized it a little bit. Let's put it that way. It should always be submit or surrender.
Here's one. Jade and Shaq against Cody and Red Velvet.
I enjoyed that. Yeah.
Yeah. And then Shaq disappearing from the ambulance.
I thought the build to that first women's casino battle royal was pretty fantastic too, with the people drawing cards, and you had random people like Piper's daughter, not Piper's daughter, Roddy Piper's daughter was in it and stuff like that, and it just the vignettes there. They've done a lot of really cool, clever things.
Didn't they have like Cameron come back for something?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, they did.
Yeah.
You know, I remember the war horse,
the Brandy Bowl. First, remember they had that women's invitational and I called it the Brandy Bowl.
I loved Dan Lambert.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
I thought they did some interesting things with SCU. I thought they did some interesting things with Ethan Page and they never
open mic night.
Bitch, who told you it was open mic night? Or who told you it was open mic night, bitch?
That was great.
Free in my head.
Yeah. And they still call back to it. So yeah, good first 5 years. We'll have 5 more, hopefully, at least 3. Yeah, I think they're good. They're good for a while now. So yeah, Jeff, that's about it. We ended up going the full 90. I didn't think we would. So
yeah.
We got approved by Garrett for an overrun. So
okay, yeah. Good.
Go ahead.
You can follow me at CrapGame13 on X. You can follow my other show, Shake Them Ropes, all one word, on X as well. This week, we'll talk this television deal. We'll talk, I think we'll be previewing Bad Blood, because I believe it's on Saturday, or we'll be doing after the show. I don't know when we're recording just yet, but it'll either be a preview or a review of Bad Blood. And then on Vader Club, the Steiners versus Fire and Ice from Great American Bash 96. Ooh.
Fire and Ice. Who's that? Scott Norton
and Ice Train.
Ice Train. Right. Right. Okay, cool.
The late Ice Train. I've been going through wrestlers who passed away this year. So yeah.
Last name is Hogue. What's the first name? Walter?
I believe so.
Okay. And for me, I do this show. You can also check out, I've been doing more writing lately on fightgamemedia.com. So you can check that out. I had, like I said earlier, an article about the, last monster standing match. I have my match of the week that I put up every week now, along with my top 10, and compare it to Cage Match and Dave Meltzer ratings, and that's a lot of fun. So check that out. It's free, and help support the site. We get a little bit of coin from the ad. So for Jeff Hawkins, oh god, Matt's right, I'm Paul Fontaine, and this has been the Dynamite Show.
Don Callis and Kenny 69ing each other.
This October, Tanger invites you to shop pink and save lives. Your donation of $10 or more to the Breast Cancer Research Foundation helps fuel innovative research that brings us closer to a cure. It also unlocks exclusive savings from brands like Coach, Crocs, Columbia Factory Store, and more to shop all month long. Join us as we mark 30 years of advancing research and empowering hope. Donate and access your exclusive savings today at Tanger.com.
At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.